I'd like to ask you to turn to Philippians and the fourth chapter this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Now, more than ever, you can literally worry about everything in the world. Benetton Health in the UK has produced a worthwhile study that shows how invested we seem to be in chronic worry. According to the results, for Britons at least, they spent an average of 14 hours a week brooding over various things: their weight, poor relationships, the cost of living, and other stressors. Here are a list of things that they worried about. See if you can identify with some of them. Getting old, money, debt, or loans, fitness, low energy levels, paying rent or mortgage, job security, diet, keeping the house clean, finding a new job. Does my partner still love me? Whether I'll find or I'm with the right partner, whether I'm in the right career, friends or family issues, parenting skills, unhealthy reliance or addiction, driving, pet's health, child's health, dress sense, worrying I'm ill but have yet to be tested or to seek help, my partner is cheating or may cheat, okay? If you do those kinds of things and worry about that, you could have certain symptoms, they say. For example, sleepless nights, lost confidence, arguments with your partner, reduced appetite, poor performance at work, distance from your partner, avoiding a social event, increased alcohol consumption, paranoia, or nausea, all symptoms of worry. Well, if you ask the world, how do you stop worrying? How would you stop doing that? Well, I Googled it. There are suggestions. Drink chamomile tea. Get your omega-3s. Breathe in lavender. Add L-lysine to your diet. Get some sunlight. Exercise. Epsom salts. Cut out the caffeine and alcohol and sugar. Eat blueberries. Make sure you're eating whole grains, oats. Try some avocados. Or only allow yourself to worry at certain times of the day. Have a worry block. Thought control. And of course, take your medications. And today, unlike any other time in history, you can worry about what's going on not only in your home and in your life or in your local towns, Alberta or Canada, but America, Tonga, Swaziland, and Djibouti. I mean, you could worry about everything in the world. I mean, who's going to bomb who next? But through the Holy Spirit, Paul gives us the Lord's counsel for worry and anxiety. Philippians 4, let's read verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anxiety can overwhelm so much that when you hear the command, don't be anxious, you say, yeah, right. There is no way I could ever get over this. But you can. Whether it's social anxiety, anxiety over some aspect of the future, whatever it is, you can get to the point where that is no longer the case for you, no longer anxious. You say, what if a terrorist comes to Edmonton when I'm there? What if my spouse or child has an car accident? What if it doesn't rain? What if it does rain? I'm too anxious to go into that social setting or whatever. I mean, what if they make fun of me? What if? You know how that feels? For me, personally, it's getting lost when I'm driving. I'll have to turn the air conditioner on in the wintertime. What is it for you? There you are in the middle of the night, you wake up, and you're worrying. Or you're driving down the road and you feel a panic attack coming on, maybe. Ah, all that worry, so debilitating, so inhibiting. Be anxious for nothing. Really? Ah, I really want that. How do you get it? Do you want it? The world would say, and everything by mind control and chamomile with medication, let your worries be made known to your psychiatrist. And then you'll have peace. But God's answer to anxiety is this: the practice of proper praying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God. And the promise, verse 7, the peace of God will guard your hearts. Well, you say, prayer? Really? That's the answer? I mean, that seems a little too easy. Well, yeah? Then why aren't you doing it? Show me a man or woman of prayer who has been practicing proper praying, and I'll show you someone who has at least a fairly low anxiety level. That's because proper praying, the practice of proper praying, and anxiety go together like fire and water. Water puts the fire out, like the practice of proper praying puts out the fire of anxiety. You need to learn to turn your anxious thoughts into proper prayers. And then you'll experience God's peace instead of anxiety and worry. Of course, naturally, just because you pray properly doesn't mean that everything in your life is all of a sudden going to get all better. It's going to fix all your outward problems. We can't say that. But you can get through those difficult times if you properly pray without worry or anxiety. So you'll notice that our text here does not say, just pray about it. That's not the counsel. No, you must practice praying properly in order to get over anxiety and worry. Of course, Paul is here and he's writing to the Philippians, and they're tempted to be anxious. You remember from verse 5 that they are to let their gentleness or their forbearance be known to all men. And you remember Paul is telling them that while they are being persecuted. They're not to demand their rights even in the midst of persecution. So you can understand potential anxiety in a situation like that. They are Christians and they are living amongst people who want to harm them. Now they understand that they have no option. They cannot fight back against their persecutors. And knowing this, that could cause them a level of anxiety. The issue that they are going through is totally outside of their control. And that's the same with you, isn't it? That's your problem. You're not in control. Or is it a problem? People who are anxious treat it as one. But for the Philippians, not only is there trouble going on outside of the church from persecutors, it's going on inside of the church as well. Remember Yodia and Syntyche? They are at odds with each other. There is disunity in the church. That's a cause for anxiety. As well as chapter 4, if you just glance at verse 12 and verse 19, Those verses seem to indicate that there may be some sort of financial need that the Philippians had. So you can understand their temptation to be anxious. But Paul writes to them, be anxious for nothing. That's a command. Don't be anxious about anything. The word anxious there means exactly what it says. To have that anxiety, to be overly concerned, to be worried, to be apprehensive about something. Where you get that constant feeling in the pit of your stomach. Those things that keep you up at night. Now, of course, there are certain situations that you should have a level of fear or apprehension, like touching fire. You shouldn't just, okay, you understand the reasonableness of not wanting to do that, or having some fear, a level of fear of heights. But we can take good responses like that way too far. Like if you were to worry that you may come in contact with fire. Oh no, am I going to come in contact with fire? Or, you know, it's good to have a healthy fear of snakes, of course. But if you wake up in the middle of the night, especially in northern Alberta, and think, what if this or that about snakes? Okay, you're taking a good response a little too far. And it's no longer honoring to the Lord. And in reality, we're not to worry even over the big things of life, let alone the small things. You could turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. And here Jesus tells us that we're not even to worry about big things like food. You think, oh, I got that one handled. Yeah, of course you do. Not to worry about food, drink, or clothing, the basic things of life. You're not to worry about those big things. Those are big things. How much more then ought we not to be worrying about smaller things? I mean, you at least have food to eat every day, don't you? Matthew 6, 25 to 34, he says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Yes, it is. What's his point? Your life is worth more than the things that you worry about. Verse 26, Jesus talks to us about food. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. My Father feeds them. Jesus then says, are you not worth much more than they? Yes, I am. What's his point? My heavenly Father will sustain me too. Verse 27, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Answer, no one. What's his point? Worrying doesn't add anything of value to your life. Verse 28, he talks to us about clothing. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So God clothes the grass. He'll clothe me. What's the point again? My heavenly Father sustains me. He takes care of me. Verse 31, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? Why not? Because that's the mark of someone who's lost. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. His point? My heavenly Father knows what I need. He knows already. I trust him. But instead, verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We are commanded not to worry about the big things like food and water and clothing. How much more are we not to worry about the lesser things like wealth, my equipment, the weather, or whatever. You can't solve anything by worrying. You can't make your life last longer by worrying, and you can't solve anything by worrying either. If you keep worrying and you keep on being content with your anxiety, your life will continue to be one big cloud of worry and anxiety, and that is hiding all of the glories of God and His will for you. Charles Spurgeon illustrates it this way. Illustrates how worry and anxiety affects your relationship with God. He says, when you worry, it's like you take a telescope and then you breathe on the eyepiece with the hot breath of your anxiety. And then you put your eye to that eyepiece and you look through it and all you see, and you say, hey, all I see are clouds. Okay, that's your anxiety at work. Is that what you want? All you want is to see clouds and fog your whole life? Of course you don't. You want to see the glories of God. You want to behold His glory. You want to see His gracious will for you. That's what you want. You don't want to go through life with no sight of the sun, no sight of His care for you. You don't want to go through life like that. But you won't catch a glimpse of God's glorious will and His glories for you if you keep on breathing out your anxiety and your worries all over your life. You're going to stagnate. You're going to be depressed. And you won't be productive for God's glory. So don't be anxious. So what are you going to do? What do you need to do? You need to practice proper praying. That's what you need to do. Verse 6 again, be anxious for nothing, but instead here, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, I'd like to admit something here. There are some cases of anxiety and worry that very few cases of anxiety and worry have a physical cause, like too much bodily stress, perhaps a thyroid issue, not eating or sleeping properly, or being overworked. Somebody wasn't worrying and anxious all of a sudden, and all of a sudden they have all these stressors in their life and their body is taking a toll. That can happen. These things can result in increased feelings of anxiety when normally you wouldn't be anxious. But the vast majority of the time, the issue is your soul, the way your mind is. God's solution for you, the one who made you, your creator, the one who made your heart, He is commanding you this day that you practice proper praying in order to alleviate anxiety. It takes practice. Notice what the verse says. In everything, let your requests be made known to God. Everything. Every situation, every circumstance, make your request known before God. In everything. That's practice. You're constantly doing it. As you follow that wisdom and you let your request be made known before God in every circumstance and in every situation, you'll get better and you'll get better at it. And the peace of God will increasingly guard your heart in those troublesome times. But it takes practice. You can't expect to be good at something overnight. If you one day set your heart and you're going to play professional hockey, you're not necessarily going to make the NHL after your first day's practice. You can't expect to get good at something overnight. Once you set your mind to practice proper praying, you're not necessarily going to get rid of your anxiety right away, like the first instance you set your mind to it. You got to keep at it. Keep going. Don't quit. Every day, in everything you pray, you let your request be made known to God. In everything. Keep on practicing proper praying, and as you do, that anxiety over the course of time, by God's grace, will melt away. But you must pray about it all. No care, all prayer. There's nothing too big. There is nothing too small. In everything you're to pray. No matter if it causes worry or anxiety or not, you pray about it. You need to practice this. You need to keep going on this. Pray always. Keep on practicing this. No matter how big, no matter how small, you keep in contact with the Lord on it. You don't know how many times my children have come to me with the smallest of issues, the smallest of a scrape or a cut. Someone I know was stuck in the banister yesterday going downstairs. Got the little head caught in the banister. Crying out. All you have to do, turn the head. Come down and you are free. Okay. Small thing. Big to this individual, of course. But small to solve it. Okay. If it's small, pray about it. If it's big, you pray about it. You need to practice this. You have anxiety, you must practice this. And if I can do that, okay, if I, being evil, know how to help my child, how much more does God know how to help you in your times of anxiety and worry? Pray about the weather. Pray about your wealth, your debt, your kids, your house, your job, your clothing, whatever it is. Every little thing, in everything, make your request known before God. But there is a way to do that. There is a way to make your request known to God. How are you going to do that? Paul tells us, it says here, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. That's how you make your request known before God. So in this passage, we have four steps to proper praying. We must practice proper praying, and you must practice it. You must do it correctly, and here are the four steps. You don't want to learn it the wrong way. You got to do it properly, right? Our piano players know if you practice it wrong, you're going to play it wrong. Okay, so practice proper praying to relieve anxiety. I'll give you the four steps. Number one is worship. Number two is be a beggar. Number three, be thankful. And number four, request. The last one is to make your request. Worship, be a beggar, be thankful, and then make your request. And these words here in verse 6, each one of them you could translate with the word prayer. They each have a nuance of prayer. I mean, you can even translate it this way. And everything by prayer and prayer with prayer, let your prayers be made known before God. But each of these words has a unique angle that gives us God's solution for anxiety. So step number one is worship. This is our approach to prayer. He says, in everything by prayer. That word prayer speaks to our frame of mind as we approach prayer. In this context, with multiple words for prayer, that is the focus that it has. We should have a reverence in our hearts toward God as we approach Him. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray when He does in Matthew 6, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name," or may your name be kept holy. Okay? That's our opportunity to praise the Lord, to reverence Him. We should praise Him as we approach Him. He is all deserving of praise. We need to come with worship. So that's step number one. Step number two, be a beggar. And everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is an earnest appeal. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was to be crucified, and when he was about to experience the full wrath of God for the sins of the world. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in agony. He was praying fervently, earnestly. And the text says there that his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. I mean, this was no light prayer. He was praying earnestly. He was not praying flippantly. You know, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings that you give to us. Yada-da-da-da. And you keep repeating the same thing. And are you really earnestly praying? No, it's, Heavenly Father, I am so anxious. Unless you come, I am undone. I praise you that you are in control, that you are good, that you are gracious even to me as I am so overly concerned right now. Okay? Approach him with praise. Approach him earnestly like a beggar. I remember when I was at my grandmother's farm when I was a boy. It was sometime after my grandmother's dog had died. We were playing wiffle ball out in the yard at dusk. And all of a sudden, there's this large creature approaching me. He was on his belly with his legs and feet underneath, scooting along right towards me. It was a stray dog. Had nowhere else to turn. For all he knew, we would just beat the dog. But the dog was starving. His ears were full of ticks. The dog needed help. Didn't know what else to do. That's a beggar. A beggar of a dog. Nowhere else to turn. He sees some humans that may be able to help him. That's what you need to do. That's the way that you need to be toward God. To be a beggar. Do you realize that every good thing only comes from Him? You are completely dependent on Him. Do you act like it? Do you pray like it? If you are suffering from anxiety, whatever is causing it, you need to learn to supplicate God. You need to beg God. You need to trust in Him. Like that beggar dog, just, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to trust these people. You need to know that He will help you. Practice proper praying in order to alleviate anxiety. So approach God with worship. Know yourself to be a beggar and pray like it. And third step here, be thankful. Be thankful for every situation, for everything. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thankfulness must accompany every one of your requests. It must be with thanksgiving, he says. You can't be a complainer in prayer and expect God's peace. You need to express to God your thankfulness. Thank Him. Thank Him for Christ. Thank Him for your family, for your friends, for church, for growth in Christ, for food, for water, for clothing, a job, rain, no rain, stars, skies, whatever it is. You be thankful to Him. Paul prays this way too. And keep in mind, he's in prison. He is in prison, about to be executed, or could be executed for all he knows, when he writes this letter to the Philippians. And when he does, he's thankful. Back in chapter 1, Philippians 1, verses 3 to 4, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. He's in prison. He's thankful. But not just writing to the Philippians. He's also thankful when he writes to the Romans. Romans 8 Romans 1 verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. 1 Thessalonians 1 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Timothy 1 3. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did as I constantly remember you in my prayers. He is thankful. To overcome anxiety, every one of your prayers needs to have thankfulness in it. Thank him even for the thing that is causing you anxiety. That's an important one. You be thankful even for the thing that causes you anxiety. And you express that to him. How can you genuinely do that? Because Romans 5 verse 3 says, and not only this, we also exalt in our sufferings, knowing that suffering brings about perseverance. Do you want some of that? Okay, you be thankful for whatever is causing you anxiety because it's going to bring about perseverance. When Paul and Silas were in Philippi, before Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, they were in jail for their testimony for Christ. And they were in jail in Acts 16. Were they down and out, discouraged? Oh man, I can't believe this thing is happening to me. I mean, even God can't help me now. Right? That's the way they were, right? No, it says in that text, they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And afterwards, there's a great earthquake. And the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And all the doors were opened. And everyone's chains were loosened. They were thankful, even in their suffering. They made a point to be thankful. Do you need a, shall we say, a breakthrough? Do you need maybe the shackles of the worries that you have broken off of your heart? You need to be thankful. Be thankful when you make your requests. Be thankful. Be thankful even for the difficult times. When you practice thankfulness, that thankfulness will be the key, as you make your request, that thankfulness will be the key that unlocks, over the course of time, by God's grace, it'll unlock the chains of the anxiety that is on your heart. Be thankful even for be thankful for the peace that he has promised to give to you here. As you practice proper praying, you be thankful for that peace that he is going to give to you. It is his word. Spurgeon again illustrates it this way. Suppose you had promised to some poor woman that you were going to give her a meal tomorrow. And then you forget. But suppose when the morning came, what she does is that she sends her cute little girl with a basket in order to fetch it from you. How on earth could you turn her down? But even more, suppose that she sent along with her girl a little note in which the poor soul thanked you for your great kindness. They totally forgot you were going to help her. Could you have any heart to say to that little girl, "Oh, dear girl, I can't help you today. You come another day." How could you possibly do that? No way. If your cupboard was bare, you would send out to get at least something, because the poor lady so believed you that she had sent you thanks for what she hadn't received yet. So you trust the Lord in the same way. The Lord will not turn back on his word. He will give you peace. You practice proper praying and you can be anxiety free. You thank him for the peace that he is going to give you. You need to have that kind of boldness before the Lord as you pray. God wants to give you peace. And when you purposely practice proper praying, okay, I added another P. Did you catch that? Okay, say that five times fast. Purposely practice proper praying. When you do that, you'll get that peace. No care now. You properly pray. Now let me help you with that thankfulness. You need to understand that in the goodness of God, you are constantly suspended in blessing. In between the previous blessing and the next blessing, you are suspended in blessing. Do you see that? Do you believe that? You are, by God's grace, constantly going from one blessing to the next because God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to be conformed to the image of His Son, the text says. Everything in your life, whether you think so or not, is a blessing, and you can thank Him for it because He is using everything to make you like His Son, and what a blessing that is. If God can turn the death of His Son, into salvation for hell-bound sinners, He can turn everything in your life for good as well. So be thankful. Be thankful for Christ, for the joys, for the trials which give you perseverance, and then more of Christ. And be thankful for this situation that He has brought into your life that causes you anxiety. Be thankful for it, that you may receive His strength, His peace in order to overcome. And so thankfulness is the key ingredient to this recipe of anxiety-relieving prayer. Why is that? Why is it that it's with thanksgiving? It's got to be with thanksgiving. I mean, we have the with in before Thanksgiving there. That's the key ingredient. Why is it? Well, think about it. When you are anxious, who are you depending on? The big I, right? But when you express thankfulness to God, who are you dependent on? You're dependent on God. The more you thank God every day in happiness or in trouble, the less anxious you will be. Those who are anxious and worry are weak in their submission to the sovereign control of God over their lives. They lack trust in the Lord. On my air compressor is a pressure gauge. And when I plug it in and when I turn it on, it fills up with air. There's a little gauge on there and it tells me how much air is in there. When God turns up the pressure in your life, you have a trust in God gauge. Okay, how much are you going to be trusting? You have a troublesome time, okay? How much is this person trusting in the Lord? Okay, and it is measuring your anxiety levels. If you don't have much trust in God, when God turns up the pressure in your life, your anxiety levels are going to go up. But if you do trust in God in those difficult times, your anxiety level will stay low. And so that requires regular expression of thankfulness to the Lord. If you are doing that and you are thanking the Lord, you're expressing, what you're doing is you are expressing your submission to Him, that you're trusting Him. Thank you for this. You're saying to Him that He's in control of this situation. He's given you this. He's in control. You're trusting in Him. And as you're doing that, as you do that more and more, you'll be ready when those troublesome times come and you will be less anxious. So what situation are you so anxious about? Are you anxious even right now? We're talking about anxiety. Purpose in your prayers to express thankfulness even for whatever is causing you anxiety. But don't forget, in it all, it takes practice. You're going to have to practice proper praying. That's the answer to anxiety. And everything by prayer. You need reverence before God. You need to praise and worship Him. And everything by prayer and supplication. You need to recognize that you are a beggar and supplicate Him. And and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You need to express that thankfulness to him in all of your requests. And finally, step four, your request before God. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Literally here, this last phrase, let your requests be made known before God. The idea is that you are letting your requests be made known in the very presence of God. You make those requests known with the knowledge of his very presence. Like what 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the right time, at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Okay? Humble yourselves under his mighty hand. There he is. Humble yourselves in his mighty presence, under his mighty hand, while throwing all your anxieties on him, knowing that he cares for you. So what is your request? What do you desire in this situation that is causing you trouble? Whether it's your finances, your relationship, your job, whatever it is, ask for what you want. Ask for it. If you go through those steps, worship God, recognize that you're a beggar and you're thankful to him. And now make your request known in his glorious presence. But keep in mind that what specifically you're asking for, if it's not in his word, he can say no. But you know that he wants you to have peace because he says it in this passage. He does not want you to have anxiety. So you can be praying for that. And as you practice proper praying, he will be giving that to you. He promises to give you peace if you do that. But of course, you know you may not wake up tomorrow with a trouble-free life. And that reward for the practice of proper praying is peace. God's peace. Verse 7. You do this, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace is the reward for proper praying, practicing that. Just like long, hard work out in the fields or in your garden. You work long and hard, you work that way, you will get as a reward the produce. Same with practicing proper prayer. You keep going, you practice this, and you be diligent with it, you will receive peace. It's those who are diligent and practice it who will get the peace. And that peace is the very peace of God. It is God's peace. And you know with him there is no anxiety, as if he worried about stuff. Okay, no, he has peace, and he gives that to you. It is his very peace that he gives. And the very peace that he gives, it says right here, it will guard your hearts and your minds. That word guard is a military term. The city of Philippi, the Christians there, and which Paul's writing, the city of Philippi was guarded by a Roman outpost, by a garrison. Those Roman soldiers would protect that city from foreign invaders. And that would have been well known to all those people. These guards kept watch over the city. They would have protected that city every day from any foreign invaders. Those Philippians would have seen those soldiers day in and day out. Just like those soldiers guard Philippi in the Roman Empire. So God's peace guards hearts. God's peace guards the hearts of those who are in Christ Jesus, it says. God's peace will guard you so that you can get through with God's peace, no anxiety in any situation. You won't be anxious when you go there or when you have to do that or when that is the case. You'll have God's peace. And at that moment, that peace will protect your hearts in that situation. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you receive this peace from God, it'll just blow you away. It's going to surpass your comprehension. Okay? You won't be able to process it correctly, like reasonably. Because instead of anxiety, now you're starting to recognize, I have peace. You'll say, how on earth do I have peace right now? I have no idea where that came from. It passes my understanding. It's the kind of peace that can't be produced by any source other than God. The human mind would by no means ever be able to produce it. But it's God working in you. And everything in your past experience says that right now you should have anxiety. But because you have practiced proper praying, you're not worried. You're full of God's peace. And that is for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is a peace that is for Christians. As Jesus says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. There is a peace in my heart that the world never gave. Do you want to be able to say this? There is a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come here to stay, and that hymn goes, constantly abiding in Jesus. You trusted Christ this morning. Have you really trusted Christ this morning? Are you found in Him? You know, He is true. His word is true. His life is real. He lives. He lives today. His promises are true, and He desires to give you peace. So no care, but all prayer in every circumstance. No worry, but worship. You pray as a beggar who has nothing but what comes from the hand of God. Do not worry, but give thanks in everything. Throw all of your anxiety on Him. He constantly cares, and His peace He willingly gives. He doesn't hide it from you. He wants His peace to stand guard at the door of your soul. Will you practice proper prayer to get that peace? Don't let these words slip. You must practice this. Don't let it slide. Resolve today to no longer be anxious about anything, but resolve today in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let your requests be made known to God and know that peace that passes all understanding. And if you do, you'll have that great joy in your heart. Let's close this morning with number 661. 661. All your anxiety. And let me just say this. If you are struggling with anxiety, this is the counsel. This is about as far as it goes, honestly. Okay? I desire to help you. You have anxiety, you need help with that. I desire to help you and keep you accountable. And I'll preach it again and again to you. Okay? But there are hymns as well, like this one, that you need to remind yourself of. And there are other hymns in our hymn book that help you too. And I would recommend that you sing these, that you memorize these, that you preach to yourselves these. Okay, another one, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That's another hymn that you can sing to yourself. You have anxiety in your home and you know somebody who has anxiety, you let this counsel and these hymns saturate your atmosphere in your home. And if you do, you're going to grow through this and you're going to get through it. So let's stand together and sing this wonderful hymn together, number 661.
Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. No other friend so keen to help you, no other friend so quick to hear, no other place to leave your burden, no other one to hear your prayer. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. Come then at once, delay no longer, heed his entreaty kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment, you shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus.
Our gracious Father, we thank you for the promise that we have in your word. Thank you for promising to give us peace, that we don't have to worry or be anxious. Thank you that we, by your grace, we can call upon you with worship, and we can call upon you submittedly. Help us, our Father, to be worshipful. Help us to be beggars. Help us to be thankful. Help us to have a distinct understanding as we pray in the midst of our anxious time and always and everything. Help us to know that we are making our requests in your presence. And Father, we request this morning because we know it is your will, your desire, that there would not be a soul here who is ever overcome or overwhelmed by any anxious thought, any worry. And we pray that that would be the case. We ask that each soul would overcome by your grace. Father, do this, we pray. We know that you are working in us the willing and the doing of your good pleasure. But we pray that we would work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that you are at work. So we ask that we would not resist you. We would not resist your word. And so we confess this morning our anxiety. We pray that you would forgive us of our sin of worry, our sin of anxieties. And cleanse us. Lord, we look forward to that glorious peace that you've promised. And we ask that we would be able to have many testimonies of people who would be able to share, at least with someone, that you have helped them with this. We ask this all for your glory, for the glory of your Son who died and who was raised from the dead on our behalf. Amen. Thank you. We're dismissed.